At Care Heating and Cooling, we put you first. You are the reason we're open 7 days a week and why it's easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Your safety is why we check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. And it's because of you that our techs are paid to fix your furnace, not sell you a new one. So it's no surprise that last year, Care was awarded a BBB Torch Award for Ethics, because at Care, we're committed to doing business right. Call Care at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Husband found out I was hosting secret teesum parties, so he replaced my lube with super glue, and one of my lovers ended up in the ER. I called him crying. And what he said left me speechless. I don't even know where to start. My life is completely effed and it's all my fault. Well, mostly my fault. What he did. I still can't believe he was capable of it. My husband and I have been married for 7 years. He works in international sales, gone at least 2 weeks every month, sometimes three. Tokyo, London, Dubai, you name it. The money was incredible. We had the perfect life. Or at least, we had the perfect looking life. The loneliness hit different than I expected. I'm not making excuses, there are no excuses for what I did. But when you're alone in a massive apartment 20 nights a month, when your husband calls you between meetings talking about deals and contracts while you're sitting there in pajamas having eaten cereal for dinner again, something breaks. It started 18 months ago. I was at a hotel bar after a work event. This guy started talking to me. Younger, built like he lived at the gym, and he was actually interested in what I had to say. Not my husband's deals or his next trip or which restaurant we should try when he's back for 36 hours. Just me. I knew it was wrong when I went to his room. I knew it was wrong when I gave him my number. I knew it was wrong when I texted him the next time my husband left for Singapore. But the wrongness made it better somehow. The thrill of it. My heart racing when I heard a noise in the hallway. The rush of sneaking him out at 3 a.m. The intense sex with someone who wasn't exhausted from a 14-hour flight. I told myself it would be once. Then twice. Then just with him. But if I was already cheating, what difference did it make if it was one guy or two? Or three? By 6 months in, I had a whole system. I knew my husband's travel schedule months in advance. I had a separate phone. I had regular guys and new ones. And then someone suggested making it a group thing, and I thought, why the F not? The first party was just me and two guys I'd been seeing separately. We used the guest room. I spent the next day deep cleaning, terrified my husband would notice something. He came home, kissed me, complained about airline food, and passed out for 12 hours. He never suspected anything. That's when I got cocky. Why use the guest room when our bed was bigger? Why hide the good wine? Why not use the expensive toys he'd bought me for our anniversary? The parties got bigger. Three guys. Sometimes four. Different combinations. I had rules, nobody I worked with, nobody who knew my husband, always used protection, never the same group twice in a row. I thought I was so effing smart. I became an expert at erasing evidence. Professional level cleaning. Sheets washed and dried and back on the bed with hospital corners. Every glass washed by hand. Messages deleted. Browser history cleared. I even bought the same cologne my husband wore and sprayed it around afterward. My friends knew. Not everything, but enough. Girl, be careful, they'd say. What if he finds out? But he was never going to find out. He was too busy. Too tired. Too trusting. When he was home, I played the perfect wife. Cooked his favorite meals. Wore the lingerie he liked. Listened to his endless work stories. We'd have decent married sex and he'd tell me he loved me and I'd feel nothing. Just waiting for him to leave again. The last year was my peak. I was hosting parties almost every trip. I had a rotating roster of 8 or 9 guys. Some were regulars who knew the deal. Some were new additions from apps or bars. The thrill was everything. The planning, the anticipation, the act itself, the cleanup, the secret. I felt powerful. In control. Desired. I should have noticed the changes. Like how he stopped asking what I did while he was gone. How he didn't comment when I bought new lingerie. How he started taking shorter trips but staying at airport hotels to catch up on work. How he'd stare at me sometimes with this expression I couldn't read. Everything okay, babe? I'd ask. Perfect, he'd say. Just tired. I thought I was getting away with it. I thought he was clueless. I was so effing wrong. 2 weeks ago, he told me he had a last-minute trip to Miami. Big client, urgent deal, might extend through the weekend. I kissed him goodbye and started texting before his Uber reached the airport. I set up for Friday night. Two new guys from an app. They seemed fun. One was a bartender, covered in tattoos. The other was some kind of crypto bro. Not my usual type, but he had abs you could wash clothes on. Both verified, both tested, both down for the group thing. I went all out. Candles everywhere. The silk sheets. Playlist ready. Toys cleaned and arranged. The expensive tequila. I even wore the wedding night lingerie because I'm apparently that effed up. They arrived at 9. We had drinks. Small talk. The tension building. By 10, we were in the bedroom. Everything was perfect. The chemistry was there. Everyone knew their role. I reached for the lube. The same bottle we always used. The one my husband bought claiming it was premium and worth the price. I didn't check it. Why would I? It was in the same place, looked the same, felt the same weight. The burn started almost immediately. Not the good kind. Not the warming sensation advertised on the bottle. This was wrong. Like acid. Like fire. But it was already too late. The bartender screamed first. The crypto bro tried to pull away and couldn't. I felt my skin tearing. The smell hit me, chemical, wrong, burning. We were stuck. Literally effing superglued together. The panic was indescribable. Three NKD strangers glued together by our genitals, screaming, crying, trying not to move because every movement was agony. The bartender was hyperventilating. Crypto bro was cursing in three languages. I was sobbing so hard I couldn't breathe. I managed to call 911 from the phone on the nightstand. Try explaining that to a dispatcher. We need an ambulance. Three people. We're stuck together. Super glue. Please hurry. The EMTs had to call for backup. Then the police came because it was a suspicious incident. Then the building management because of the noise complaints. They had to carry us out on a special gurney, still connected, with just sheets thrown over us. Every neighbor was in the hallway. Someone was recording. I heard later it went viral on TikTok before getting removed for nudity. At the hospital, they had to call in specialists. Chemical burns. Skin grafts. The crypto bro's DK was so damaged he needed emergency surgery. The bartender might have permanent scarring. They shot me full of painkillers but nothing helped. It took 4 hours to separate us safely. A nurse gave me my phone once I was stable. Dozens of missed calls. Hundreds of texts. My social media blowing up. The video had already spread everywhere before being taken down. I called my husband with shaking hands. He answered on the first ring. Hey babe, he said. His voice was calm. Too calm. How's your night going? I'm at the hospital, I sobbed. Something terrible happened. Someone switched the lube with superglue. I could have died. Please come home. Please. Silence. Then, I know what happened. My blood went cold. What? I said I know what happened. I've known everything for months. Every party. Every guy. Every time you used our bed. How? The cameras I installed for security while I travel. They upload to the cloud. I've watched it all. Documented everything. Your little cleaning routine. Your fake orgasms with strangers in positions you won't even try with me. That thing you do where you smell my pillow afterward like you miss me. Oscar-worthy performance. I couldn't speak. Couldn't breathe. The Switzerland trip in March? I was at the airport hotel. The Tokyo conference? Canceled it. Stayed at my brother's place downtown. I've been investigating you like a effing case study. Screenshots. Videos. Credit card records. That second phone you hide in the tampon box? I've been reading those messages for 6 months. Why didn't you? Confront you. Divorce you like a normal person? Because that would be too easy. Too clean. You needed to understand consequences. You needed to feel what I felt. So you tried to KL me? He laughed. Actually laughed. KL you? I used medical grade skin adhesive. Surgical superglue. It's designed for human tissue. Hurts like HL, causes superficial damage, but ultimately safe. I researched for weeks. Tested it on myself first. I'm not a monster. I'm just better at planning than you are. This is insane. This is assault. I'll call the police. With what proof? The bottle's already gone. Replaced with the original while you were at the hospital. The cameras show you hosting a consensual teesum. Nothing shows me even being in town. I have receipts proving I was in Miami. My client will vouch for our dinner meetings. You can't do this. It's already done. Check your bank account. I pulled up our joint accounts. Empty. Investment accounts. Empty. Everything transferred or withdrawn. That's illegal. Joint property. I took exactly half of our liquid assets. The other half? Well, Crypto Bro is talking about suing. Bartender already lawyered up. Your job found out when someone sent them the video. Check your email. My work email had one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
One new message. Subject, termination, effective immediately. I own the apartment, I whispered. You own half the apartment. With a mortgage you can't afford a loan. And who's going to rent to someone whose SX tape went viral? Someone who might get sued into bankruptcy? You planned all this, every detail. For months. While you were planning your parties, I was planning your ending. Difference is, I'm better at it. I'm your wife. You loved me. Loved. Past tense. UKLD that love F by F. What you're talking to now. This is what's left. This is what you created. Please. We're done. Divorce papers will be filed Monday. I've already moved my things. Don't try to contact me. Don't show up at my work. Don't call my family. You wanted to be single so bad? Congratulations. You're single. Wait. Oh, and one more thing. That bartender you effed? The one screaming about his burn DK? That's my cousin's boyfriend. She knows now. The whole family knows. Good luck at Christmas. He hung up. That was 2 weeks ago. Since then, everything he predicted has come true. Fired. Sued. Viral humiliation. Friends won't answer my calls. Family is disappointed. The apartment's in foreclosure proceedings. I'm sleeping on a couch at the one friend who still talks to me, and that's only because she's been through a nasty divorce too. The worst part? He's gone. Completely. Changed his number. Blocked on everything. His family won't tell me where he is. His company says he's on sabbatical. The divorce lawyer only communicates through my lawyer, who I can barely afford. I keep replaying it all. How did I not see it? How did he watch for months and never break? How did he act normal, kiss me goodbye, F me on the nights he was home, knowing what I was doing? But I know the answer. Because he's exactly who I thought he was, controlled, methodical, patient. I just never thought those qualities would be turned against me. I thought I was the one in control. I thought I was so clever. Turns out I was just another stupid cheater who got caught. Except most cheaters just get divorced. They don't get chemically burned, publicly humiliated, and systematically destroyed. I want to hate him. I want to be angry. But all I can think about is that security footage. Him sitting in some hotel room, watching me betray him over and over. Planning this elaborate revenge while I plan my next party. I played stupid games. I won stupid prizes. And he made sure they were prizes I'll never forget. Edit, since people are asking, yes, this is real. No, I'm not pressing charges because there's no evidence and honestly, I kind of deserved it. The guys I was with are both suing me, not him, because I was the one who provided the defective product in my home. The bartender needed skin grafts. The crypto bro is looking at permanent damage. I'm looking at bankruptcy. Edit 2, to everyone saying this is assault, you try proving it. The bottle's gone. The cameras only show what I did. He has alibis. He has receipts. He covered every base while I was too busy covering my tracks to notice he was setting a trap. Edit 3, yes, I'm in therapy now. Court mandated because of the lawsuits. Yes, I know I'm a terrible person. Yes, I destroyed my own life. But the way he did it? The patience? The calculation? I didn't know humans could be that cold. Update 2, 1 month later, the full story is worse than I thought. He documented everything. I wasn't going to update. The comments on my last post made me want to disappear forever. But my lawyer says I need to document my side of things for the court cases, so here we are. First, to address the comments, yes, I'm a piece of SHT. Yes, I deserved consequences. No, that doesn't make what he did legal or right. Yes, I'm aware that nobody feels sorry for me. Trust me, I got it from the 3,000 plus comments telling me to KL myself. Now for the update. My husband, soon to be ex-husband, surfaced through his lawyer last week. He's fighting the divorce proceedings. Not to stay married, but to make sure I get absolutely nothing. His lawyer submitted evidence to the court. 147 pages of documentation. Screenshots. Transcripts. Financial records. A effing PowerPoint presentation of my infidelity. He literally made graphs of my cheating patterns. Charts showing frequency, partner counts, expenditures on entertainment. But the worst part was the videos. Not just SX videos. He edited together a highlight reel. Me kissing these guys in our kitchen. Me giving them tours of our apartment, pointing out wedding photos. Me laughing about how clueless he was. Me using his grandmother's antique bed frame for a gangbang. And after each clip? Cut to him. In his hotel room. Watching it live on his laptop. Face completely emotionless. Taking notes in a effing moleskin journal like he's documenting a science experiment. He saved everything. Every message. Every photo. Every credit card charge for lingerie I never wore for him. He has recordings of me on the phone with friends, laughing about my dumb husband who thinks I'm at book club. The audio is what KLD me. In one recording, I'm freshly effed, laying in our bed with some random, and he asks about the wedding photo on the nightstand. That your roommate? I laughed. Might as well be. He's gone so much I forget I'm married sometimes. He seems successful. Oh, he is. Very. And boring as F, but he pays for all this, so I play wifey when needed. Lucky me then. Lucky both of us. The timestamp shows my husband was in the same city. 3 blocks away in a hotel. Listening live. His lawyer played that recording in the deposition. My lawyer actually winced. The court reporter looked disgusted. I wanted to die. But it gets worse. He didn't just document my cheating. He documented the escalation. The progression from lonely housewife to hosting gangbangs. He has a timeline showing how the encounters got more extreme. How I went from feeling guilty to bragging about it. How I stopped using CNDMS. How I started taking risks. He knew about the pregnancy scare 8 months ago. The one I never told him about because I wasn't sure whose it was. He has the pharmacy receipt for Plan B. The text to my friend panicking about maybe being pregnant with not my husband's baby. He was in the pharmacy parking lot when I bought it. Watching. Taking notes. All those times I thought he was distant because of work stress? He was processing my betrayal. All those times he seemed too tired for SX? He'd already watched me have it with others. All those times he said he loved me? He was saying goodbye. His brother reached out after the deposition. Wanted me to know the full story. Apparently, my husband suspected something a year ago. Hired a PI. Got the initial evidence. Any normal person would have confronted me then. Not him. He spent a year planning this. He researched the legal implications. Consulted with lawyers in 3 states. Studied chemical properties of medical adhesives. Tested various concentrations on pig skin from a butcher. Practiced placing cameras at angles that would capture everything while being legally permissible as home security. He scheduled his fake trips around my cycle because he'd figured out I was hornier during ovulation. He analyzed my app usage to know when I'd be shopping for new guys. He learned my patterns better than I knew them myself. The night of the superglue? He was in the apartment the whole time. In the panic room we had installed for safety. The one I forgot existed because we never used it. Watching through the cameras. Waiting. He heard every scream. Saw every moment of agony. Sat there in the dark, eating takeout, while we writhed in pain. He didn't leave until he heard the EMTs in the elevator. Then he slipped out the service entrance and was on a plane to Miami within an hour. By the time I was at the hospital, he was having drinks with clients, establishing his alibi. His brother showed me 1 page from the journal. 1 sentence, written the night he first confirmed my cheating. She wants to play games. I'll show her how the game ends. A effing year. He planned my destruction for a year. Smiled at me. Kissed me goodbye. Sent me flowers on our anniversary. All while building my pyre stick by stick. The legal battles are destroying me. Both guys are suing for medical costs and emotional damages. My ex is suing for intentional infliction of emotional distress because I exposed him to STD risks without consent. My lawyer laughed when she first heard that. She's not laughing now that she's seen his evidence. I've been tested. Clean, thank God. But he has documentation of every unprotected encounter. Names. Dates. Risk factors. He even has messages where I laugh about raw dogging randos. His legal team is arguing that each unprotected encounter was a form of assault against him. They might win. My career is over. The video spread through my industry like wildfire. I've been blacklisted. Not officially, but I've applied to 47 jobs. Not one callback. My LinkedIn is a ghost town. Former colleagues won't even acknowledge me. I moved back to my hometown. Living with my parents at 31. They look at me like I'm a stranger. My dad won't speak to me. My mom cries when she thinks I can't hear. My sister told me I'm not welcome at her kids' birthday parties anymore. What kind of example would that set? The friends who warned me to be careful? They're gone. Can't blame them. Who wants to be associated with the woman who became a meme? Superglue ST is what they called me on Reddit. There are reaction videos. Memes. Someone made a TikTok tutorial on how to not be a cheating woe using my story as a cautionary tale. But here's what really F's with me. He could have just divorced me. First evidence of cheating, he could have filed. I would have gotten half of everything. Moved on. Started over. Instead, he let me destroy myself. Gave me enough rope to hang myself and then kicked the chair out from under me at the perfect moment. He didn't ruin my life. He set up the dominoes and let me knock them down. In one of the videos, timestamped to a night I remember clearly, one of my biggest parties, six guys, went until sunrise, the camera catches him in the reflection of a mirror. He's in the doorway of the panic room. Watching. His face is completely blank. No anger. No sadness. Nothing. That's what haunts me. Not the pain. Not the humiliation. Not even the consequences. It's that blank face. The face of a man who loved me once, watching me betray him, feeling. Nothing. I did that. I KLD whatever part of him could feel. And in return, he KLD my entire life. The divorce will be final in 2 months. I'll get nothing. I'll owe everything. The bartender's medical bills alone will bankrupt me. Crypto bro is claiming permanent dysfunction and wants millions. My ex wants damages for a year of deceptive marriage practices. He's remarrying already. His brother let that slip. Some woman from his Miami office. Beautiful. Successful. Loyal. They've been dating since the hospital incident. He moved on in literal days. Like I never existed except as a problem to solve. I still wake up at 3 a.m. sometimes, phantom burning between my legs. I still can't use any kind of lube without panicking. I still see his blank face in every mirror. He won. Completely. Utterly. Devastatingly. And the worst part? I gave him the ammunition. Every betrayal. Every lie. Every cruel word about him to my affair partners. He just collected it all and waited for the perfect moment to pull the trigger. I thought I was playing him. Turns out, I was playing myself. He just made sure I lost. Update 3, 6 months later, rock bottom has a basement. I know nobody wants to hear from me. The last update got even more hate than the first. But I'm writing this from a psychiatric hold, and they encourage journaling, so here we are. 6 months since the incident. 3 months since the divorce was finalized. 1 month since I tried to. Well, that's why I'm here. Let me catch you up. The lawsuits destroyed me. Bartender got $500,000 for medical bills and suffering. Crypto bro got $1.2 million for permanent disfigurement and loss of consortium. My ex got $300,000 for intentional infliction of emotional distress and fraud. I declared bankruptcy. Didn't matter. Some debts can't be discharged. I'll be paying these men for the rest of my life. 25% of any income I ever make goes to them. Forever. I work at a gas station now. Night shift because my face is too recognizable for day shift. Even with a mask, people know. Hey, aren't you the superglue chick? At least twice a week. I make $11 an hour. After garnishments, I take home $6.50. My parents kicked me out after they got tired of reporters showing up. Moved into a studio apartment in the worst part of town. Landlord only rented to me because he thought he could F me. When I said no, he started the eviction process. Disturbing other tenants. But that's not why I'm here. 2 weeks ago, I saw him. My ex. At a Whole Foods, of all places. With her. The new wife. She's everything I'm not. Elegant. Classy. The kind of woman who doesn't F strangers in her husband's bed. She was pregnant. Very pregnant. He saw me. I know he did. Our eyes met across the produce section. For 1 second, I thought I saw something. Recognition. Maybe even pity. Then he put his hand on her belly, whispered something in her ear, and they laughed. Turned away. Like I was nobody. Just another stranger in the store. I left my basket in all three and walked out. Sat in my car for an hour, sobbing. Not because I want him back. I know that's impossible. But because of how thoroughly he won. New wife. Baby on the way. Promotion at work, I heard through the grapevine. Living in a penthouse downtown. Thriving. Glowing. Happy. While I'm drowning in debt, working minimum wage, taking the bus because my car got repossessed. He didn't just destroy my life. He used my destruction as a launching pad for a better one. That night, I wrote him a letter. Not to send. Just to get it out. 3 pages of apologies. Regrets. Acknowledgement of what I did. What I cost us. What I cost myself. Then I realized something that broke me completely. He doesn't think about me at all. I'm consumed by what happened. By him. By that blank face. By the methodical destruction of my existence. It defines every moment of my life. But for him, I'm just a solved problem. A closed chapter. A lesson learned. He's moved on so completely that seeing me in Whole Foods was probably the first time he thought about me in months. That's when I took the pills. My roommate found me. Called 911. Stomach pumped. Psychiatric hold. Mandatory therapy. More debt I can't pay. The therapist here wants me to process my trauma. She doesn't get it. Yes, what he did was extreme. Maybe illegal. Definitely cruel. But I created the situation. I loaded the gun, cocked it, pointed it at my head, and handed it to him. All he did was pull the trigger, and he did it perfectly. No passion. No anger. No messy emotional confrontation. Just cold, calculated consequences delivered with surgical precision. He turned my cruelty into his justice. My games into his victory. I've been reading the comments on my posts. The ones calling me a woe. AST. Saying I deserved worse. Maybe you're right. But there's something you don't understand. Living with this is worse than death. Death would be an ending. This? This is watching everyone else's life continue while yours is frozen in amber. This is being the cautionary tale mothers tell their daughters. This is having your destruction be someone else's origin story. He got his revenge. Then he got his happily ever after. Using the lessons learned from my betrayal to build something better with someone worthy. I've been ordered to continue therapy after release. To get a job that pays enough to cover my garnishments. To report monthly to ensure I'm paying my debts. To live with the consequences of my actions forever. But the real punishment isn't the money. It's knowing that I did this to myself. That every single consequence was earned. That he gave me exactly what I deserved, no more, no less. And that he did it all without ever raising his voice. I thought I was special. Smarter than other cheaters. Better at the game. Turns out I was just another idiot who confused getting away with it temporarily for being good at it. He wasn't clueless. He was collecting evidence. He wasn't boring. He was planning. He wasn't weak. He was patient. And I wasn't in control. I was on camera. To everyone reading this thinking about cheating, don't. Not because of what happened to me, most people won't marry someone capable of this level of revenge. But because you'll destroy the part of them that loved you. You'll KL something innocent. You'll turn love into logistics. And if you're very, very unlucky, you'll do it to someone who's better at the game than you are. Someone who'll wait. Who'll watch. Who'll document every betrayal while smiling at you over breakfast. Who'll let you feel safe in your sins right up until the moment he doesn't. Someone who'll destroy you so completely that even he won't remember your name. My ex won't read this. He's blocked me on everything, and I doubt he thinks about me enough to search. But if somehow he does, you won. Completely. I'm sorry for what I did. For what I turned you into. for what I turned us into. I hope your new life is everything our marriage wasn't. I hope your daughter, I saw the gender reveal announcement on your company's social media, grows up with a father IKLD. The one who could love without keeping score. But mostly, I hope I never see that blank face in another human being again. Because I put it there. And that's a guilt no amount of consequences can wash away. Edit, to those asking why I don't move and start over, with what money? With what references? Google my name. First 50 results are about the incident. I'm trapped in this life as surely as I was trapped in that bed. Edit 2, yes, I know he'll probably never see this. That's not the point. The point is acknowledging what I did. Who I hurt. What I created. Even if he never hears it. Edit 3, the people saying he went too far, maybe. But I spent a year effing other men in his bed. He spent a year planning justice. Who really went too far first? Final update, 1 year later, the last chapter. This will be my last post. Not because I'm giving up this time, but because I need to stop reliving this and actually move forward. It's been a year since the incident. A year of consequences. A year of pain. A year of growth I never wanted but desperately needed. I'm writing this from a different place. Not physically, still in the same crappy studio. Still working nights. Still paying my garnishments. But mentally? Emotionally? I'm somewhere new. The therapy helped. Not at first. First, I just wanted to be the victim. To paint him as a monster. To pretend I didn't earn every single consequence. But eventually, I had to face it, I destroyed my own life. He just made sure I couldn't escape the debris. I've accepted what I am. What I did. Who I hurt. Not just him, though God knows I hurt him worst. But his family. My family. Those men who didn't know they were props in my game. Everyone who trusted me. I reach out to people I hurt. Not him, that bridge is ash. But others. My parents. My sister. Some former friends. Most don't respond. The ones who do are cautious. Baby steps. I'll take what I can get. I volunteer now. Ironically, at a support group for infidelity. Not for cheaters, for the betrayed. I tell my story to rooms full of broken spouses. Watch their faces change from sympathy to horror. Good. Let them know what we're capable of. Let them know they're not crazy for being suspicious. Your intuition is usually right, I tell them. We get cocky. We make mistakes. We think you're stupid when really you're just hoping you're wrong. Some hate me for being there. Fair. But others thank me for the insight. For confirming their suspicions aren't paranoia. For showing them the cheater's playbook so they can recognize the plays. I still see him sometimes. Not in person, he moved to the other side of the city. But on LinkedIn. Company newsletter. Mutual acquaintances social media. He's thriving. New baby is beautiful. Wife seems genuinely happy. Good for them. I mean that. Because here's what I learned in the deepest part of my personal HL. He could have become me. He could have cheated back. Could have become cruel. Could have let my betrayal turn him into something ugly. Instead, he channeled it into something else. Something calculated and cold, yes. But also something final. Decisive. Clean. He didn't drag it out. Didn't torture me for years. Didn't become a bitter, vengeful ex who keeps finding new ways to hurt me. He executed his plan, got his justice, and moved on. Completely. And that blank face that haunted me? I understand it now. It wasn't cruelty. It was closure. He'd already mourned our marriage. Already processed the betrayal. Already decided on consequences. By the time I was writhing in agony, he was already gone. Had been for months. He didn't destroy me in anger. He destroyed me as a practical matter. Like demolishing a condemned building. No emotion necessary. Just efficiency. I'm not grateful for what he did. It was extreme. Maybe criminal. Definitely cruel. But I'm grateful for what it taught me, that actions have consequences. That betrayal has a price. That some people keep score even when you think the game is secret. Most importantly, that the person I was needed to die for the person I could become to have a chance. She's not much yet, this new person. She makes $11 an hour. Lives in a roach-infested studio. Has no friends, no prospects, no hope of a normal life. But she's honest. She faces consequences instead of running. She helps others avoid her mistakes. It's not redemption. I'll never be redeemed. But it's something. Growth, maybe. Or just scar tissue. Either way, it's what I have. To anyone reading this in a relationship, love them or leave them. Don't do what I did. Don't turn someone who loves you into someone capable of what he became. Don't create your own destroyer. And if you're the betrayed reading this, I'm sorry. For what happened to you. For what we took from you. For the paranoia and pain and broken trust. You didn't deserve it. None of you deserved it. But please, don't become him. Not because we don't deserve it. We do. But because you deserve better than letting our betrayal turn you into something calculated and cold. Get justice, yes. Get divorced, absolutely. But don't spend a year in the dark, planning the perfect revenge. He won. Totally. But what did he win? A year of his life spent documenting my sins. Nights in hotel rooms watching me betray him. Turning love into logistics and pain into planning. He got his revenge and his new life, but at what cost to his soul? I don't know. I'll never know. He's too smart to ever tell that story. Too controlled to ever show those scars. But they're there. They have to be. You can't watch someone you love betray you for months and come out unchanged. I changed him. Turned him into someone capable of sociopathic patience. That's my real crime. Not the cheating, that just hurt him. But turning him into someone who could hurt others? That's the sin I'll carry forever. So this is goodbye. To Reddit. To reliving this story. To defining myself by the worst thing I ever did. Tomorrow, I'll wake up at 5 p.m. for my shift. Make coffee in a pot I bought at Goodwill. Put on my uniform. Take the bus to work. Clock in. Smile at customers who don't know my story. Clock out. Come home to silence. Repeat. It's not much of a life. But it's honest. And after everything, honest is all I have left. My ex, if you ever read this, though I know you won't, I hope she never gives you reason to become that man again. I hope your daughter only knows the version of you who brings flowers just because. Who laughs easily. Who trusts completely. Who loves without keeping receipts. I hope I was your only war. And I hope you've found peace in your victory. Because I've found something in my defeat. Not peace, I don't deserve that yet. Maybe ever. But acceptance. Understanding. The knowledge that every empty night, every struggling day, every moment of recognition in strangers' eyes, I earned it all. You didn't destroy me. You handed me the detonator and let me push the button myself. The fact that you shaped the explosion was just poetry. Dark, terrible poetry written in super glue and suffering. I was the villain in my own story. You just made sure it had an ending. And for that, in the strangest way, I'm almost grateful. Because without that ending, I'd still be her. Still hosting parties. Still laughing at your trust. Still destroying loves I didn't deserve. Now I'm nobody. But at least I'm an honest nobody. That's more than I was before. To everyone who followed this story, learn from it. Love better. Leave cleaner. Don't play games with hearts that trust you. Don't turn good people into patient monsters. And if you're going to F around, prepare to find out. Because somewhere out there is someone like my ex. Someone capable of waiting. Planning. Executing justice with the precision of a surgeon and the patience of a saint. Someone who'll let you feel safe right up until the moment you aren't. I found mine. I pray you never find yours. But if you do, if you're reading this from a hospital bed, stuck to someone you shouldn't have been with, your life unraveling thread by thread? Remember, you loaded the gun. You cocked it. You pointed it at your head. You handed it to them. All they did was pull the trigger. And they did it perfectly. Account deleted. Epilogue, posted by you/throwaway_brother2022. My brother asked me to post this. He said enough people have asked that someone should set the record straight. He won't do it himself because, in his words, that chapter is closed. Yes, the story above is real. I'm the brother mentioned in her updates. Yes, everything she described happened. Yes, my brother is exactly as methodical as portrayed. But she got one thing wrong. He didn't feel nothing. That blank face wasn't absence of emotion. It was control of emotion. I know because I was the one he called at 3 a.m., crying so hard he couldn't breathe, the night he first confirmed her cheating. I was the one who talked him off the ledge when he wanted to burn it all down, his career, his life, everything, just to hurt her back. She made me into someone I don't recognize, he told me. I look in the mirror and see a stranger. A man capable of this. He didn't become cold because he felt nothing. He became cold because he felt everything, and the only way to survive was to turn it into something else. Something useful. Something final. The year of planning wasn't sociopathy. It was grief. Every night watching those cameras was a funeral for the marriage he thought he had. Every documented betrayal was a nail in the coffin. By the time he executed the plan, he'd already mourned for months. He's happy now. Genuinely. New wife is perfect for him. She knows the whole story and chose him anyway. Their daughter is beautiful. He smiles again. Real smiles, not the practiced ones from that year. But sometimes, when he thinks no one's looking, I catch him staring at nothing. And I know he's back in that panic room. Watching. Documenting. Turning love into evidence and heartbreak into strategy. She changed him. Made him harder. More careful. Less trusting. He loves his new wife, but he'll never be naive again. Never be the man who kissed his first wife goodbye without wondering what she'd do while he was gone. That man is dead. She KLD him. What emerged was someone better in some ways. Stronger. More aware. More grateful for loyalty. But also someone capable of patient, methodical destruction when betrayed. Someone who keeps receipts. Someone who watches. He's at peace with it. We all have darkness, he told me. She showed me mine. Now I know what I'm capable of. And so does everyone else. The men are still paying their settlements. Her parents still get reporters sometimes. The video resurfaces every few months on different platforms. The consequences continue to ripple. But for him, it's over. Filed away.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Problem solved. A lesson learned. A life rebuilt. He won. Completely. But winning and healing aren't the same thing. He did both, eventually. But the scars are there. Hidden under success and happiness and new love, but there. She created those scars. And he made sure she'd never forget it. That's the real ending. Not tragedy or triumph. Just two people who brought out the worst in each other, and one who was better at it than the other. Learn from them. Both of them. Love better. Leave cleaner. And remember, everyone has a breaking point. You just better hope you never find your partners. Because some people break loud. They scream, they cry, they beg. And others? Others break quiet. They plan. They wait. They win. My brother broke quiet. God help anyone who makes that mistake again. Thank you so much for watching until the end. If you really like our videos, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Have a great day.